Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside. It is the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I have a friend over to watch an episode of the show, and then we break it down for you guys piece by piece. Now, today's guest is a new friend I met very recently, who generously agreed to come over to my house so soon into our friendship.
Podcast. We met on another podcast.
We did.
We're basically podcast
We're
friends.
We're like totally
We're basically best podcast friends.
Best podcast friends.
Yeah.
BPFs. We're going to get a necklace that says that, split it in half. Are you ready to wear the half of that necklace?
I'll wear it. I will wear it. I got nothing else going on. I'll wear that necklace.
Why don't you introduce yourself to the people?
My name is Gabe Delahaye.
Uh-huh. And Gabe, you just did an episode called Masquerade Ball.
Yes. Season 6, episode 3.
So close.
Is that not what it is?
You just squinted and said that. Masquerade Ball, which aired, the original air date was October 3rd, 1992.
What do you mean close? It's not season 6, episode 3?
They didn't. I don't think they had 6 seasons.
What that says?
Oh,
S6.
I think they had
E3.
Yeah, but this is Netflix is totally
different. Oh, Netflix
different.
Is crazy.
Yeah, the order of Netflix. That's why I go by this document I'm highlighting right now, because the order on Netflix is whack as hell.
Just so the people at home understand, I'm looking at a TV screen.
That's right. I apologize.
And it says 6 episodes.
Look, we're best, but why are we fighting as best podcast
well,
friends?
Well, that's what friends do. Except not on this show. I notice friends do not fight on this show. They just explain to each other what is happening.
Okay, so Masquerade Ball, why don't you go ahead and give a brief synopsis of the entire plot, and then we'll really get into it.
Okay.
Okay.
Masquerade Ball takes place the week of the famous Masquerade Ball at Bayside High,
right.
Which I guess is not the Halloween dance. It's like it turns out to be a costume party.
But like, no mention of Halloween or anything.
No, none at all. No. I have to imagine it's just some Eyes Wide Shut shit going on at Bayside that I have to imagine. I know that this is already getting off track, but I do have to imagine that the writers or the costume designer just had like 3 costume parties worth of costumes all lined up. And they're like, well, we might as well just have another costume party. It's not Halloween, but they can have another costume party.
I've got this trunk full of costumes.
Costume party's coming up.
Yeah.
We know that. Zach and Slater hit on all the girls in school simultaneously in every scene. Every scene they're talking to a different girl together and they're like competing, but they're not even interested in her ever. Like it's the like just raw competition.
You got to time out though first. You got to just give the plot so we can really get, because I have a lot to say about this. You just have okay. to, now you just
Tori,
go.
So Tori, who I don't remember watching. I mean, I watched a lot of Saved by the Bell as a kid, but I don't remember right. that much about it.
Okay.
Tori wears a leather jacket and like ugly pants. So, you know, she sucks or whatever. And the guys are like, ugh, Tori sucks. So then Zach and Slater make a bet
right.
that one of they make a bet who can kiss Tori first.
Yes.
There's two rules to the bet.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a witness.
Yeah.
And the kiss has to last 3.5 seconds. A figure that they both agree upon instantly as if that's a meaningful number. I have no idea where that number came from.
Right.
All right. Yes. Right. I have to I'm sorry. I'm just right. I'm so that's sitting through the details. Meanwhile, Lisa's getting letters from a secret admirer yeah. who promises to buy her lots of gifts. So she immediately decides, based on the first letter, that it's Mr. Wright
yeah.
and that she's in love with him.
Yes.
She starts sneaking secret letters back to them. They have like a agreed upon meeting place for secret letters, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna. So then Zach takes Slater tries to sculpt Tori in their sculpture class. Zach takes Tori out on a romantic date.
Yeah.
On the romantic date, she's all of a sudden into him based on the movie they saw, I guess, was like really the movie really changed her opinion of Zach. Tori's like about to kiss him. He decides he can't kiss her because he actually likes her.
Yes.
And he tries to call the bet off.
Yes.
Slater won't call it off.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Zach confesses to Lisa that he likes Tori now. But Lisa thinks that he's talking about her and that yes. he's writing the secret admirer letters. Meanwhile, one of the secret admirer letters gets lost and Mrs. Krabappel, what's her name? Miss Culpepper. She ends up like accidentally slipping the secret letter to Principal Belding,
yes.
who now thinks she's in love with him.
Yes.
It almost all takes place at the masquerade ball.
Yeah.
Where Tori, who now thinks that Zach likes Lisa because that's what Lisa told her.
Yeah.
Tori tricks Slater and Screech.
Yes.
She doesn't know. She thinks she's tricking Slater and Zach into kissing at the masquerade dance
right.
by telling each other what costumes they're going to be wearing.
Right.
It turns out that she actually tricks Slater and Screech.
Mm.
They share a very romantic kiss. It revolutionized television to have two teen boys kissing. And then Zach tells Tori, who he thinks is Lisa,
yeah.
that he actually does like her and tried to call the bet off. And so then they are now in
love. Happily ever after. That was beautifully put.
Thank you.
That is the whole synopsis.
Where's what's her name? She's not in this episode at all.
Yeah, because that's the weirdness of the Tori episodes is she just comes in and Kelly and Jesse are gone with zero explanation.
Every time that happens?
Tori's only in like 5 or 6 episodes and then all of a sudden Kelly and Jesse are back. And again, they never mention it. They're never like, where'd you guys
and
go?
And it's not for like for a whole season. It's
no,
like there's
I don't
just
even
a
think
one-off,
it is a whole
there's just
season.
These one-off episodes
like,
where Tori shows
I think it's
up.
It's like 5 or 6 episodes. And
that's
yeah.
so weird.
I think in real life I read that Kelly and Jesse, there was some kind of contract negotiation. Like, they were like, we want more money or something.
Oh, I don't think it's because, I don't think there's like a real backstory. Yeah. Well, Kelly and Jesse are on Semester at Sea. In real life, they had to go to Semester at Sea, and so they hired Tori.
So,
okay.
It opens up, and you're exactly right. The first scene is one of many scenes where Zach.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh.
Already before that even starts, if you look at the menu for all of the episodes.
Yeah.
Masquerade Ball, 23 minutes. Next episode, Day of Detention, 22 minutes. Drinking and Driving, the third episode after that, 23 minutes.
Yeah.
I love that Day of Detention is 1 minute shorter, and they're like, no, it's perfect. We could not add another minute to this episode. It is flawless.
Exactly. You'll be ruining the whole picture.
Everything
if you
is in its place.
Add, yeah, exactly. But for this,
right.
it opens
Let's
up
focus.
And it's Slater hitting on a girl and then Zach immediately coming up to hit on Ginger at the exact same time. So it starts off the pattern of them hitting
Slater,
on girls simultaneously.
Simultaneously. It's also Slater hitting on a girl and she is supposed to be dumb. Like the first thing she says is supposed to be dumb. And everyone laughs. And then as if everyone else on the show is a genius. Like, everyone on the show is so dumb, but this girl's supposed to be dumber. Tori gives her a dirty look as she's walking down the stairs.
Yes.
Later on, that same girl at the masquerade ball, she makes another dumb comment because she calls Slater's astronaut costume
a scuba diver
costume, which frankly is actually kind of clever. It looks like one of those old times. It's a shitty costume. He is so mad because he's like, this girl is such an idiot, even though he was hitting on her so hard earlier.
Yeah.
Just as in competition with Zach.
Well, also, that character, Ginger, has already been in. Zach went on a date with her a couple of episodes
Ginger is
ago.
A good name.
So she's already been on a date with Zach. And Slater
and he's still hitting
still
on,
coming to hit on her.
And Zach is still hitting on her. I also
like. She could just be like, hey, remember we went on a date a week ago.
I also really like. I remember, you know, my memory of the show is. The show succeeded in what it tried to do, which is that I have this memory of the archetypes of like Zach was sort of like the button down preppy kid.
Yeah.
And Slater was sort of like the street tough jock kid.
Yeah.
And in the very first like interaction they have, Slater calls him preppy, but they're wearing the exact same outfit. Like they both have like overprinted shirts.
Yeah.
Tucked in to pleated pants with a belt.
Yes. But Slater like unbuttons his. To well, yeah, like to his, show off, to his, show his, off his muscles, so
as everyone in high school does.
I guess
that's actually probably fairly true. I think people in high school do that a lot.
Well, I didn't go to high school with a guy who had muscles like this at all, not even close to show. Did you have any dudes in your high school that were this ripped? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you grow up?
No, I went to like an artsy school.
Oh, okay. So
there weren't a lot of ripped guys.
No muscles.
Yeah, I didn't see muscles until
fame?
I was 25. What's that?
Did you go to the school from fame?
Kind of.
It was the kind of that thing?
Kind of. Was everyone just smoking weed in the parking lot in Fame? That's what my school was. So
they're hitting on the same girl at the exact same time, and they're best friends. Like, there's no, neither one of them goes.
Are they best friends?
Well, they're supposed to be. That's how they're sold to us. So it's like,
I don't
understand. Wouldn't either one of them go, hey, dude, why don't you not hit on this girl I'm currently trying to hit on?
There's a lot of problems with the way people interact on this show. Like, if this was the first episode I watched, and it is the first episode I've watched in many years.
Right.
I don't know what anyone's relationship is to anyone else.
Oh, so you wouldn't even think they were friends?
No, I mean, like, no, because they don't act like friends.
Right.
Nothing that they do suggests that they're friends. They compete for, they compete with each other.
Yeah.
They, when Zach actually comes to Slater, the one moment where he kind of tries to be his friend and says, like, hey, let's call off this bet. Slater's like, you're not going to fool me, man.
Yeah,
like, they're not friends at all. Like, they interact for 20 to 30 seconds at a time.
Right.
And it's mostly to explain what's happening in the plot. Everyone. That's everyone's job. Everyone talks to everyone else. There's multiple scenes in here where Zach talks to Lisa about his problems.
Yeah.
Lisa talks to Tori about her problems. Tori talks to Screech about her problems.
Right.
And they're all, none of them are like, seem to care about what the other one has to say.
Yeah.
None of the other people have anything to say.
Yeah.
They're just laying out what's actually happening.
Right, right. They're like, let me tell you what's going on. And then if there's time, I'll tell you how I feel about it.
Yeah. They'll say, what happens is they go, so here's the plot of, here's like what's happening in Act Two. And the other person will be like, great, got it, and leave. That's like every interaction. It's amazing.
Thanks, friend. And then they leave. Well, okay, so then Tori comes up and sees them simultaneously hitting on Ginger and is like, hey, you guys are fucking dicks. You can't treat girls that way. It's the 90s.
To which Zach and Slater respond, just ignore it. Maybe it will leave. Right? Which is cool. Like, that's a fun moment.
Yeah, and then they mock her. They're like, it's the 90s. So then Screech comes up because he's testing out, I guess, costumes for this upcoming masquerade ball. And all he's doing, he's only wearing Groucho glasses.
Yeah, he's wearing
Groucho
glasses.
There's nothing. He's dressed exactly like Screech in his giant 4XL shirt and
he doesn't
everything.
Try to. Well, he does actually do a little bit of a Groucho Marx accent.
Yeah, he does a Groucho Marx impression, but he comes up. He seems to genuinely, like, he goes up to Zach to talk to him, and Zach's like, hey, what's up, Screech? And he's like, hey, how did you know who I was?
Well, Screech is fascinating because in this episode, and to revisit this episode, because my impression of Screech, again, based on, like, the archetype I have of him in my mind from watching as a kid, is that he was, like, the nerd.
Yeah.
But he's the dumbest person in the whole episode. He's constantly confused. Like, everyone's just like, here's what's going on. And he's like, I don't get it. Explain it to me again. At one point, Zach is like, well, look, I like Tori now, so I should call off the bet because it's rude. And Screech is like, but don't you want to kiss her? And that's what the bed is. Like, he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get the concept of
He's rudeness. Walking around in Groucho glasses, and everyone's like, hey, Screech. And he's like, how did you know? And yes. It's like, you're supposed to be the smart one, I thought.
Yes.
But he's the
dumbest.
And
you don't realize that that's a disguise from the neck up. Like, they know it's hardly barely counts as a disguise.
Also, like, he writes these secret love letters to Lisa.
Yes. Well, I want to get into that because he also... In the history of the show, he's been in love with Lisa since they were, like, in kindergarten. And he's been aggressively chasing her since day one.
Right, which is very confusing. Like, it doesn't really fit his character.
Well, that, and if he...
Like, him being in love with her makes sense.
Yes,
but is he really going to be aggressive about
it? Yeah, he's, like, aggressively chasing her. So, this is, like, their junior year, I think. Like,
it's season six of high school. Just to frame it, it is now season six of high school.
So why is he just now thinking, oh, I'll write her secret admirer letters? Like, that seems like a pretty early on. You'd come to that conclusion early on.
Yeah.
If you're trying to get
Well,
this
he's
girl.
Trying. He, much like all of the men on this show, is trying to trick her into liking him.
Right.
Everyone's game
is
mostly
dumb.
Just to trick people.
Exactly. Of course. But if I'm like into a dude in high school.
Right.
That would be like my first thing. If I'm into him, I don't think he really likes me that much.
Yeah.
I feel like my first go-to thing is like, I'll write a secret admirer letter, see how he responds.
I do like how you talk about it in the present tense.
What?
If I like a guy in high school, my first go-to is to write a letter.
Look, I'm giving advice to teens. That
oh,
are dealing
that's, what
with this
that's what this show is for?
Right now. I'm just saying, so that no, I wouldn't go 8 years in after this person already knows that I'm super into them and they hate my guts.
Well, it's also like he broke the seal. Like, he's already aggressive about it. You might as well, like, keep going for it.
Like, you can't retroact. You can't backpedal and make
back
it
channels.
A secret. Yeah, that can't happen. So
I want to go back. And I know this is, like, a really overarching... I know you want to get into the nitty-gritty of what happened in minute 21 of the episode or whatever, but... My favorite
that seemed
thing,
very dismissive, and I don't
it
appreciate
it. It is very dismissive.
Because
this is my favorite
academic
thing,
pursuit.
academic. My favorite thing about this whole episode is that the first time that we see Tori in the episode, she comes from a very legitimate position of thinking that Screech and or Zach and Slater are being assholes.
Yeah,
and the audience. Is led immediately to dismiss her as an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be like, ugh, what is this gross witch talking about? This gross Wilson's leather witch.
Total Wilson's leather.
Then, the setup of the date, again, you're supposed to be like, I wonder who's going to win this date to trick this woman into kissing one of these hunks.
You're like,
one of these hunks is going to kiss that dumb witch. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. The hunks do not want to kiss her.
Yes.
But I can't wait to see which one wins $50. Also, actually, Zach is the one who says, I have $50 riding on it.
Yeah.
Slater doesn't put up anything.
He doesn't at
Slater's
all.
Slater's like, cool, I'll take that $50. So, okay, Tori sucks, even though she's like very on the ball about what's happening.
On the ball, decent human being.
Immediately, and now we're supposed to be led to believe that we want the hunks to trick her into kissing them.
Right.
When
I have to interrupt you only because you're leading into when they're in art class, and before they get to art class, that's when Lisa opens up her first letter from the quote unquote secret admirer. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, she reads it to Tori and is like, listen how great this is. And it is like, hey, I love you. You're great. If you were mine, I would give you gifts of gold.
Right. Gifts of gold.
That's like, again, teenager style. Like, what teenagers care about that? And I would argue not many. I mean, who cares?
Lisa Turtle cares about it.
But also, you're right. Like, that's the line where she's like, this is my dude. Like,
No,
who cares about emotions or whatever? Like, he's going to buy me gold bricks.
And just to make Tori even more respectable, Tori takes everyone right where they're at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Tori's like, she doesn't judge. She's
Tori doesn't
like, okay.
say, Tori doesn't say, hey, Lisa Turtle, you seem really materialistic and like that might be a hard road to go down. You might end up being really disappointed.
Yes.
She's like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
He sounds
I'm glad
perfect.
You're happy.
He sounds perfect for you.
Yeah. So also, that's what she's reading as she walks into the art class.
Lisa Turtle, I know that she dresses this way throughout all of the episodes, she dresses like Tom Hanks in Big when he has to go to his first office.
Yeah. It's like,
she dresses so
inappropriately. Yeah.
For even for like a fashion forward high school student.
Oh, totally. It's all like business blazers.
Like really puffy shoulder blazers.
Yes.
Really
totally.
Everything really conservative.
Yeah.
even though everyone on the show just wants to fuck so bad. Everyone wants to fuck. Mr. Belding wants to fuck. Miss Culpepper wants to fuck. Everyone wants to fuck so bad.
So Lisa, get that blazer off.
I know. Lisa does dress pretty sexy at the masquerade dance. She's
yes,
got that, like,
because
she,
she's a fucking
black.
Sexy cat.
They're both sexy cats.
But that's such a goat. That's the go-to hot girl Halloween costume.
Tori, just to get back to Tori again, is like beautiful, but they fuck her up make her ugly. Because you're supposed to think she's a shitty piece of shit who respects other people.
Give her that ill-fitting Wilson's leather jacket.
So then they, at the masquerade ball, is it a ball or dance? At the masquerade ball.
Masquerade ball is the title of the episode.
Of course it is. They put her in like a sexy cat costume, but then they give her like the shitty.
Oh, entirely cover her face.
Man's. Well, it's, they cover her face, yes, but that's so that you don't know who she is because this gambit has to keep running.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
That's not her fault. But the wig she's wearing, the cat's wig, is like the dude from Cats.
Yeah.
Like, she's got like a really like a bodycon cat outfit on. And then she's just got this like grotesque Beauty and the Beast wig on because she still has to suck.
Oh, it's totally, what's his name? Ron whatever from Beauty and the Beast. What was that? What's that guy's name?
Pearlman?
Pearlman, that's right.
Yeah. Also Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
Also
yes, that
Hellboy.
Is true.
Also
true.
City of Lost Children.
I didn't. Do you watch Sons of Anarchy?
I do. I do watch it.
I feel like I should watch
good.
It for Charlie Hunnam.
Why? What do you mean?
Because he's a hot guy.
Oh,
I'm a lady of a certain age, and I'm into hot guys.
Well, you might want to just keep him in your imagination
and
not
have
see
it ruined
how
by.
He
Is he
on TV?
Oh, is he a bad actor?
I'm not
going to
go on the record.
He's got to do a fake American accent.
Listen,
that's a
I
lot
live
of
in
hard
Hollywood
work.
Now I have to think about my own career. I'm not going to go on the record.
This is going to get
I'm
back to
I'm not going
to
go on the record
he's a
saying
big
that
fan
Charlie
of this podcast.
Huge fan of Charlie Hunnam. Love his American accent. Think it's impeccable. Love the way he tucks his thumbs into the.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your eyes just rolled out onto my floor.
Love the way he tucks his thumbs. Genuinely love the way he tucks his thumbs into the waistband of his pants in every role he plays. Both Sons of Anarchy and Pacific Rim, he walks like a real cool guy. He's a great actor.
Okay. 100% sincere. I love it.
Very good.
Okay, so then they all go into art class where Miss Culpepper, who is another teacher where the joke is she's blind. There's, you know, Miss Simpson's the joke, she's deaf. This lady, entire joke is she's blind. Isn't it funny how blind she is?
It is kind of funny.
So they all go into her art class, sculpting.
Art class. It is art class.
And then she's like, she gives everybody has like lumps of clay on their desk and she says, hey, today's assignment, each of you will sculpt another person.
Go.
Yes.
That's like about as much instruction as
that's
she goes.
That's totally what it is.
She's like, you guys are going to sculpt a human figure. Go at
it. I thought it was another person in the class. The way she talks, it makes it sound like you're going to pick a person and sculpt them in the class.
You mentioned that while
we
were watching
the
episode, and
saying.
I feel like you really hung up on that detail.
I was. Because then nobody ended up modeling for each other, really. And then the sculptures that they do don't look like... Like, the one Tori does is, like, a guy on a surfboard.
The sculptures they do are incredible for not being... None of them are artists. I mean, none of them. Not a one. And they have been given no instruction on how to sculpt.
But I wasn't critiquing whether
they were
good or bad.
And they all look, like, really good sculptures.
Right. I'm just saying they weren't... There's no dude in that class standing on a surfboard ever.
Right. My favorite part about sculpture class, besides how little instruction she gave...
Yes, just sculpt.
...is that, obviously, sculpting a human figure takes time. And so at first I was like, really? Like in art class, they just give no instruction. And they're just like, well, you have an hour to sculpt a human person.
Yeah.
But they solve it in a genius way, which is that to show time has passed, they're still in the art room. It dissolves from the art room to the art room. And everyone is still in the art room.
Yeah.
And everyone is still sculpting. But someone walks in and goes, what are you doing here? School is over. And there's no way that everyone would hang around art class sculpting if school is over.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and they went, went back? Were they like, they went through the rest of their day after art
class? Right,
they
went to
and
like
they came
algebra.
Back like, I got to really perfect.
I'm really working on this
sculpture.
Impromptu freeform sculpture I'm doing of a guy in a surfboard.
And you're right. The art teacher gave absolutely no technique. There's no directions, no technique. Like, here's how to sculpt.
Yeah.
It's just she points at them and goes, sculpt. Now, After she does that, it's another instance of Slater and Zach start hitting on a different girl at the same time.
In sculpture class.
Yeah. Yes. Again, like, they're both like, hey, I'll model for you. You know, yeah. Slater's like, I'll flex for you. No big deal.
Yeah.
And then that's when Tori comes up again and is like, you guys are being dicks. Stop treating girls like this.
Right.
Because that's when the bet.
Oh, no. I know when the bet happens.
Yeah. Because after she says that, then of course they flip it. Like, Slater's like, oh, she's so mean to me just because she totally wants me. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
And then Zach's like, no, she wants me.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, of course. So that's when they fight. They go, what? She wants me. And then, you know, somebody's like, I bet I can kiss her before you. And you're right. That's when it becomes, okay, it has to be 3.5 seconds. There has to be a witness. And then Zach goes, hey, how about $50? That's what we'll make it. And Slater goes, yes, of course, $50.
He doesn't say, we'll make it $50. He says, I have $50 to put on it. And Slater says, okay.
Yeah.
So the first gambit we see is Slater. And he is clever because his gambit is to pretend that he respects women.
Yes, of course.
He goes up to Tori and he says...
He's like, I've changed my ways.
I've changed my ways with women. You're totally right. I should respect them and think of them as human beings.
Yes.
As a trick
yes.
to get her to kiss him. For 3.5 seconds.
For 3.5 seconds. And
what that means is that he knows the difference between respecting and not respecting women.
Well, completely.
He totally understands it.
Right.
He just doesn't
he just is going to use
care
it.
About He doesn't think
no,
it's
not
worth
at all.
His time.
Not at all. And is going to use the facade of caring about it and knowing about it to win a kissing bet.
But actually not really. Because what he does is, he says, I respect women. And then he's like, all right, that's under control. I put out all those fires. And then asks her to model for him. So he immediately goes from pretending to respect women.
Now can you be my object?
To literally objectifying
yes,
her.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I literally need you to be my object. And she's like, okay, fine. And then he goes, hey, the title of my sculpture is Young Girl on the Verge of a Kiss.
Which is so disgusting.
Yeah. And
that's the grossest title for
completely,
a sculpture.
Totally. And then he's like, so you have to pucker your lips.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh, so
and so
gross.
She's like, okay, do I really have to do this? And he's like, yeah. And to make sure it's super realistic, I need you to actually kiss me. So to make sure your lips are puckered exactly
to make sure
right.
My clay sculpture for this high school sculpture
yes,
class
is the most
is
realistic,
super realistic
thing ever made.
Because
yeah.
Because you know Slater can do it.
Yeah.
He can make a super realistic sculpture if he wants to.
If he has the right motivation, which is...
I don't remember what... why don't they
because
kiss?
Because right when they're about to touch lips, Screech...
So she's going to do it.
She's going to do it. Like, she's fully like, I'm going to help you with
you
your
know,
project.
Tori is so... She's really there for people. When
Tori's a
her.
Lovely person. So she's about to
ugly
do it.
Ugly as shit. I mean, just dog ugly.
You can tell by her leather jacket.
By her hair and her leather jacket.
So... They're like literally about to touch lips when Screech yells because he has retrieved a letter from Lisa, a
right.
response from Lisa to his secret admirer letters, and he yells, woohoo! And then it's just done. They're never going to kiss. Tori's like, what's the deal?
Right. And now, this is amazing also on the Screech storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's been aggressively pursuing Lisa. He's in
yes.
love with Lisa.
Yes.
He is now tricking her by writing letters.
Yes.
I don't know why she automatically thinks it's Mr. Right just because he said the word gold or whatever,
yes.
which is cool. Cool, cool plot line. all the women on this show are perfect.
Yes.
Perfectly drawn. Three-dimensional characters. But Screech is the one in control of this prank.
100%.
And as soon as she writes back, I love you.
Yeah.
He's like, it worked. Fucking foolproof.
He's like, it worked despite...
Crazy... beyond my wildest dreams. This was a foolproof plan. One
yes.
letter exchange and already
she loves me
and this is real.
Despite years and years of evidence to the contrary. Despite
yeah.
years of her literally saying to my face, I
yeah.
hate you. You're terrible. I'll never date you. You're gross. Get away from me.
Yes.
Years of hearing that has been erased by one secret letter
mm-hmm.
that she's written back to a person that she doesn't know who it is. He knows she doesn't know it's him. But yeah, he's like, yep, she loves me. Lisa's in love with me now, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And is screaming about it. And then, of course, Slater's like, fuck you, I was just about to kiss Tori. Now.
Cut to
the Max, where Zach is bringing
Tori
in.
Zach has rented the entire restaurant
okay.
for the evening.
I talk about this in every goddamn episode because I am... so obsessed with the Max's business plan. I'm obsessed with the concept of a business. It is empty.
Do other people rent it out or just Zach?
Well, that's what I.
Because Zach is rich as shit. Like, Zach has that locker phone. Or is that Parker Lewis?
No. Zach has a cell phone. Right?
Yeah,
Zach has a cell phone
in 1992.
Well, he's had it even in 1990. He's had it throughout the series.
A cell phone in high school? Yes. So he can rent out an entire restaurant.
Yes. But.
To win this bet.
How much?
He already spent the $50.
And then some. Like, he spent an entire restaurant.
They should have just had a gentleman's bet and not put money into it. Yes. If it's like, because it's clearly not about
the
money.
He's already. Okay. So he walks.
I have a Trading Places $1 gentleman's bet.
Yes.
And just be like, I'm going to fuck this girl.
Well, here's.
That I hate.
Just to prove a point. Just
because
she
was,
I can.
Just to prove to her that her philosophy about how people should be treated as human beings is garbage.
They walk into the Max. Now, it's totally closed except for the two of them and Screech. He's also, I guess, hired Screech to be their personal waiter.
Which makes no sense. If you're going to pay all the money to rent out the restaurant, have the staff of the restaurant.
Have the staff. Well, he goes, they sit down. Screech is like, what can I get you? Tells them a few food choices.
Someone asks if they can hear the specials.
Hear the specials.
At the Max.
Yes. Screech tells them several choices.
Do you know what the choices are? I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The choices are hamburger, turkey burger, chicken burger.
Yes.
And green peas. What is this restaurant?
Well,
there's no such thing as a chicken burger, first of all.
I would argue the limited menu is due to the fact that there's a limited staff.
Oh, no. Asking what the specials are at the Max is dumb.
Oh, it's of course.
And
it's
having
dumb.
The waiter at the Max say, the special is hamburger. Great. Good joke. Lands well.
Yes.
You get it.
Yes.
It stands the test of time. But the writers were like, rule of three, chicken burger, throw that in there.
Yes.
Which is not a thing.
Yes.
And then they ruin their own rule of three by adding green peas.
Green peas. I don't know. Maybe they want the teens to eat right. You need some greens.
I'm not. Look, I'm not here to criticize the writers of Saved by the Bell. I know that they're professionals.
But my thing is this. That, because there's food available, that means Zach has rented out, teenage Zach, 16-year-old guy, rented out the building, maybe is paying Screech to be the waiter, probably not because they're friends, but maybe paying Screech. Also paying a kitchen staff.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be somebody there to make those
Might have
things.
Been Screech, though.
I mean,
as
I guess.
As far as the logic is working in this plan.
I guess, but Screech doesn't work at the Max. Like, in any other time, so I feel like the manager would be like, well, we can't have just, like, a civilian
come
in.
That manager's cool, right? He does magic tricks. Get that manager in there.
Max.
Why would you hire Screech?
It's true, but he doesn't work there anymore. He hasn't worked there for a couple seasons.
Oh, is that
he
true?
He also just disappeared.
So the Max is just, like, run by children?
No man's land. Exactly. Like, you
like
never see
diner
a manager
under the dome.
Again. Yes!
It's like the diner in Under the Dome that the teenage girl takes over because she believes that the town just needs the diner.
It's totally... Yeah, so Zach could have spent hundreds of dollars on this night. To trick a girl to kiss him for $50.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying have a gentleman's bet.
Yeah, it's not worth the investment.
Have a gentleman's bet? I'm on board. No, all of this makes sense with a gentleman's bet. As soon as
with
you
actual money,
on the line,
but also this
doing?
How it's not wise for the Max because they lose. You're not getting more money from this kid than you are just being open for business that
but
night.
But if the Max is being run by boxcar children,
they don't know that.
Shutting down the Max for a kissing bet is about as legitimate as anything else.
Also, do you think that he went to the manager and was like, "Look,
what manager? You said there's no manager."
Well, whoever's in charge of renting
the co-op,
it, do you think that
the
he
Max's
was,
co-op of the, teenagers?
Yes. And was like, I need this night because I need to trick a girl into kissing me, and we have to be alone but with one other dude to witness the kiss.
And they were like, you had us at I need it this night. I don't want to be there. Let Screech run it.
Also, let him cook. Off. Give him free reign in the kitchen, too.
I'll defrost a couple chicken burgers and a bag of green peas.
Leave them on the grill for you.
It's hard times at the Max.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my personal thing because I'm obsessed with the Max and how terrible of a business plan there is there. Also, just the idea of that. Like, think how rad would it have been at 16 to be able to rent out a whole diner for yourself at a moment's notice?
Then Tori says,
a moment's notice.
Then Tori says she thanks Zach for the date and because he took her to the movies and now he rented out an entire restaurant.
We also have to mention, by the way, she's also wearing... She's on a date, but she's wearing what someone would wear to, like, a job interview.
Yeah.
I mean, she's also wearing, like, a blazer.
Fancy clothes.
Very conservative
nice clothes.
Blazer. Yeah.
She says, I like this romantic stuff. Most guys just take me to the demolition derby.
Yes.
First of all, fucking demolition derby sounds awesome.
Yes.
I don't want to go to some movie with Zach Morris. I want to go to a demolition derby. Also, that is romantic.
Well, as long as after the demolition derby, he takes me to our own personal diner.
I also like that the idea of this for the viewer at home. Like, once again, remember, we're on the sides of the hunk.
Yes.
The idea of this is that it is crazy.
Yes.
That she would like romance. You were supposed to hear that and be like, what?
I never would have guessed.
But you are a piece of shit.
But you wear leather.
You probably like demolition derbies because you're trash.
Yeah. Also, I want to make a note that the entire time they're there, saxophone music is blaring. And
like,
it's only
elevator music.
It's only a saxophone playing.
Yeah.
There's never a change.
It's hold music.
Yes, it's only a saxophone.
Which, they have the run of the place. They can put whatever music they want.
Whatever they want.
I understand if, like, when it's during normal business hours.
Yes.
They might have to pipe it in from the Max's corporate headquarters, because I assume this is a Max franchise.
Right.
But when they rent it out, I think they should be able to think of music.
They can play whatever they want, not constant saxophones. Okay, so...
Again, also, one assumes they didn't talk during the movie.
Right, and, yes.
And they just got to dinner.
So it's
And she's already like, I think I'm pretty into you. I know that you're like a chauvinistic pig, and you have...
But the way that you
never
watched...
done anything other than act like you completely hated me and had no respect for me. But
right. But after that 2 hour silence of a movie,
Gleaming the Cube was pretty good.
and the way you stared at that screen,
you
knew
took me out for
a
chicken
good
burgers.
Dude.
So I guess I'm in love with you.
Right. She's immediately like, you are way different than I thought you were.
Because when it gets down to it, the show is right. All women just want to get fucked by the hunks. That's what women want. Women want to get fucked by the hunks. They might put on a big show. They might wear ugly leather jackets
to try to deter the
and
hunks.
Not brush their hair,
right,
to try and make the world think that they don't want to get fucked by the hunks, but they
right.
really do.
They just really secretly want to get fucked by the hunks. Look, any hunk or not is closing the deal with me if he rents out an entire goddamn restaurant for us. That would make me change my mind almost instantly.
You put that out there. I mean,
is that unreasonable? I don't think it is.
Look, you do. I'm going to be the Tory in this situation. I'm very happy for you. You do you. It's not unreasonable. Life
saying.
Is hard. We all have to make decisions, you know, follow your bliss.
So, yeah, she's like, you're so different than I thought, and wow, this is great. I'm super into you. And then they start to kiss, and that's when Zach freezes.
Kiss. No. They lean in towards each
right,
other.
Right, they lean in the beginnings
His
of a kiss.
Lips do not touch.
They do not touch because Zach freezes.
Because Zach freezes because he hears... Also, he freezes because he hears Screech start a stopwatch.
Yes.
Which, really, Screech?
Yes. Stopwatch? He starts a stopwatch.
3.5 seconds. Work it out.
Yeah. So he's like... He looks up at Screech, he freezes, and that's when he's just like, oh, we gotta go.
But he was about to do it.
Yeah.
He didn't freeze. Like, if anything, I think it's just like the stopwatch triggered his lizard brain. Like,
I think he was so deeply in love with her
mm-hmm.
that he had truly forgotten.
You think he forgot about the bet?
Completely. I think he forgot, oh, this is happening because of a bet. He forgot. He's like, no, I'm just like into this chick.
Interesting.
And then the sound of the stopwatch brought him back to reality. He's like, fuck, the whole origin story of this date is that I bet I could kiss her.
Right.
So then
he's
like, shit, I can't do it anymore.
I think you're right. I think that is what's supposed to have happened.
Yes.
I will say, if I was in a room and it was just me and someone that I liked and Screech staring at us, I would notice. No matter how wonderful she was.
I could never be
like,
taken out of it.
She could be the most, like, my dream woman in the whole world. I would definitely notice Screech standing right there holding a stopwatch before he even started it. He would not, I don't need the beep. I would know that he was there.
Yeah. Well, what if he was just your waiter?
But I hired him, remember? Let's not forget, I hired him.
Yes. But if he's just going to and from the kitchen with your chicken burgers, you might not.
That's great, too, that Zach is such an upper crust piece of shit that Screech, nominally his friend.
Yes.
He's as soon as he hires him in the capacity of service industry waitstaff, he's like, you're not, you are subhuman.
Yeah, I don't even know
you. I do not notice
you
in the room. You are not a real person.
Yes, completely. So he notices him when he does the stopwatch, though. That's when he freezes. He's like, Tori, I gotta go, whatever, and gets up and then is walking away. And then I noted that he did a double take when he was maybe a foot away from her.
Okay.
Like, he does a double take. She doesn't know. She doesn't go, hey, what's it? Like, she says nothing. Like, she's just like, all right. Whereas I think anybody would go, hey, are you okay? Or, like,
the hunks never want to fuck her. Like, all she does everything she can. She doesn't realize she's pushing him away. No, she actually is pushing them away, but she doesn't realize it.
So he walks off and is like, yeah, I can't do this. Now, the next scene is it's Slater and Zach in the locker room the next day at school. And that's when Zach is like, hey, Slater, why don't we call off this bet? Like, it turns out it's not a good idea. Let's call it off. And like you said, Slater's like, fuck that. I'm not
Slater
falling
has
for
incidentally
it.
Come into the locker room to, as far as I can tell, open a duffel bag and close a duffel bag without putting anything in it or taking anything out.
Yeah, there's no...
He walks in with a duffel bag, sets it down, opens it. Zach is like, I want to call off the bet. And then he closes it. And
he's like,
no
way. I'm out of here, buddy. Well, and he goes... There's no, this isn't Vegas. This isn't like they signed a contract. Like, Slater keeps going like, no, fuck you, it's on. Where Zach can just be like, well, I'm just not going to do it. Like,
well,
I'm
actually
not legally
the funniest thing
bound
that,
to you.
The funniest thing that Slater says.
What?
Zach says, I want to cancel the bet, kiss Tori.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he goes, I'm not kissing any dudes.
Oh, yes.
As if that's how canceling a bet works. Like, as if that's even close to what Zach was suggesting.
Yes.
Was, I don't want to do this bet anymore. Now the bet is which of us can kiss a dude first for 3.5 seconds. There has to be a witness.
Right,
I have $50 on
that
it.
Really?
It's like such a weird, it's like, that's where Slater's mind is at.
Yeah.
Like, Slater really made that leap all on his own. I know they are in a locker room, so I do kind of get it. But they're both fully clothed.
Yes.
And it, of course, does
but
come
you're right.
back.
He
it
does...
also comes back later.
Well, of course,
it's
yes.
really mostly, it's called foreshadowing.
It's a gay panic episode.
It's a gay panic episode, and they're really setting up
oh, you're right,
the drama
goes,
of the third act.
He's like, Zach's like, I don't want to kiss Tori anymore. Or, like, I don't want the bet to be kissing Tori anymore. And he immediately leaps to, I'm not kissing a dude. Like, there are zero other girls
yeah,
in
like
school.
No one was one was talking about that.
Yeah.
Which, if this was a real show about high school in the 90s,
yeah.
Zach would have been all over that.
Oh, my God.
They let that slide so fast.
Yes. When
they
he would have been like, well, I didn't say anything
so
about dudes.
Fast.
Why are you thinking about it?
He didn't even call him a faggot or anything.
Yes.
He didn't do anything.
Yes.
He just let him get by.
Which would
which
really
is like,
happen in high school.
Which is actually, again... You know, cool of them. They were cool. these guys are actually pretty cool.
You changed your stance.
The hunks are pretty cool. They don't call
now
each other faggot.
Now the hunks are cool.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Zach went to a movie. He realizes that women are human beings.
Yes. And he totally doesn't make fun of Slater for maybe being gay. So, yeah. So Slater won't let him drop it, though.
I always thought Tori was like this feminist trash person, but we went to a movie and she like didn't wear her leather jacket, and I realized I would totally fuck her.
Oh my God, how magnanimous of Zach.
Like, I would, like, I kind of want to call the bet off because I actually kind of want to like legit fuck her.
Not under the pretense of a bet, like I want to do it on my own. And Slater's like, I don't give a shit, bet's on for life. So
it turns out she likes dinner. Did you know that? You probably didn't. She likes dinner. It's crazy.
I know you think she's some monster that doesn't even eat human food.
I had her pegged all wrong.
But it
turns out she likes dinner. She goes crazy for chicken burgers.
If you
burgers.
Need evidence of her being an actual human being, she enjoys dinner and meals.
We are recording this, right? Like,
yes.
As far as I know, we're just...
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So, the next scene is Lisa reading another one of these letters. Like, she's super into these letters. Like, she's just...
I kind of don't even want to talk about this Lisa plotline. It's so boring. It's, like, so dumb. They're, like, to take it back to Sons of Anarchy, I recently watched Sons of Anarchy Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Jax Teller's son, Abel, has been abducted by the IRA.
What? They're Irish?
Nah, it's complicated.
Okay.
But so, in Season 3, the Sons of Anarchy go... They have a Sons of Anarchy chapter in Belfast, obviously.
Oh, okay.
They go to Belfast to retrieve the kid, and... The whole season takes a season long because every time they're trying to find out information, someone lies to them and they run with that lie as far as they can.
Right.
Like, someone will just be like, yeah, no, kid's not in Belfast, must just be in Canada. And they're like, we got to go to Canada right away. Like, right. They immediately take everything at its word, even though they're dealing with, like, criminals and liars.
Yes.
Like, they immediately are just like, yeah. Okay, well, we got information. They said it's not this, so it's definitely the other thing.
Right.
And that's, like, what the Lisa thing is, just, like, they read a letter, and then they're just instantly like, it's this thing that has, there's no evidence that this is true. It's, like, really kind of annoying to watch. I don't know if I want to talk about it. Let's just say, like, Lisa and Screech do not get together by the end.
Okay, do you really want to
I kind of want to not talk about it. It's, like, very, like, dropping letters on the floor.
Right.
Although, the one thing I want to talk about is that the miscommunication that happens when...
Belding and Miss Culpepper?
Miss Culpepper,
yes,
picks up the letter.
Because to be fair to her, this is after he told her she's hot without her glasses.
Not only that, Mr. Belding tells Miss Culpepper... You know, you're very attractive without your glasses. Have you ever thought about getting contacts? Which, right off the bat, is a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Like, for sure a lawsuit. And then, she acts, because she's so blind and she doesn't have her glasses on, she accidentally walks into a janitor's closet and all this stuff falls down. Like, you hear all this stuff fall down and the door closes.
Yes.
Mr. Belding, the supreme authority at the school.
Yes.
The person to whom all questions eventually must be addressed.
Yes.
Walks away whistling.
Walks away.
As if like, oh, I didn't see anything. This is not my problem.
I shouldn't check
on
her
principal.
Safety. Yes.
Two lawsuits. Immediately. Two lawsuits. Also, she knew she was talking to you. Like, she might not know what happened when she walked into the janitor's closet, but she does know that the last person she talked to...
Who's a foot away
from
this.
Who was 1 foot away from what happened was the principal.
Right. Who did not come to her aid, did not help her in any way.
He's very lazy
like,
about...
Hey, can I help you?
Keeping his job.
Well, if we're going to skip the Lisa thing, I want to say this.
Okay.
He says that, right? Like, he's like, you look super good without glasses. And she's like, okay. Then one of the letters is dropped. Miss Culpepper finds it and goes, I want to go take this to the lost and found.
Oh, a letter.
Yes.
I'm going to take this to the lost and found, where we take all our letters in
all
high
letters.
School.
Yes. So that's weird. And also, she accidentally puts it in the principal thing
that's
above the lost and found thing. That is a letter slot.
There are two red mailboxes.
Yes.
One of them says principal,
yes,
and one of them says lost and found, and they're right next to
each
other.
That leads you to believe that, like, the lost and found at my school is where you brought people's, like, coats and lunch boxes. This is only for this has a letter. It's like a mailbox. So
it's for lost
that just
letters.
Means
it's for
everyone
lost and
is
letters.
Losing letters.
Also, if we can, I would like to address Mr. Belding's office.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen the show in a while.
Yeah.
Just to give you a sense of the office. The door opens directly onto the hallway.
Directly to the main
There's
hallway.
There's no secretary.
Nope.
There's no administrative staff. Mm-hmm. He's the only administrator in the whole school as
you
far as I can
right
tell.
You just walk right in there.
You can just walk right in there, but once that door closes, the windows are opaque.
Yes.
That's creepy as shit. Like, a principal of a school should not have windowless office.
Yes, you should be able to see what's going on. There
yeah,
should be
at all times.
Other people
at all
around.
Times.
Yeah.
Not that he really cares, because he tells the Miss... He confuses the letter. He reads the letter and thinks Miss Culpepper is into him. And he openly, in the middle of the school day, confronts her and tells her that he's not in love with her with the door open with students walking by.
Yes. Completely.
Third lawsuit.
Yeah.
Third lawsuit. Three lawsuits already.
In the span of like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I just like the fact that the lost and found is solely for letters. It only has a letter slot. If you find anything else that's lost, who knows where it goes? Because it's not going to fit in the lost and found.
Well, they probably
mailbox.
Have multiple lost and found in principal's boxes stashed all around the school for different sized principal and lost and found objects.
Also, this is the only episode where either of those exist. The next episode,
oh, I'm sure,
there's not a lost and found or a principal mailbox.
They're very big.
Yeah, they're huge.
So that the lettering could be big enough on it that we can read it, but Miss Culpepper can't.
Yes, exactly. So, okay.
She walks so determinedly over to the lost and found box, only to be completely baffled by which is which, and not put any time into figuring it out.
And this is also after
she's like, I'm going to put this in the lost and found. Nah, whichever one.
But she walks like that, too, after having presumably been injured in the jam. You would think she'd be a little, like, feeling around, like, a little careful, like, oh, I just walked into a broom
School
handle.
School is a death trap.
Yeah, yes, but she just marches straight on. Okay, so,
We're getting close to the dance. So the thing that I think that we do need to introduce is that Zach confides in Lisa that he likes someone and he has a secret and he needs to tell her, but he doesn't know how to confess the secret to her. which Lisa takes to mean that he's in love with her and that he's been writing the letters.
Right. And now, this upsets me on many levels.
Again, what is anyone's relationship to each other? Why does Zach confide in Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
If they're such good friends, why is Lisa just in love with him? And Lisa seems pretty aggressive. I feel like if Lisa was that in love with him, she would just say something.
Well, here, this is another... Two episodes ago, they dated.
Mm-hmm.
2 episodes ago, mm-hmm. when Lisa had... Or three. Is it three or two? No, it's 2 episodes ago.
You're going to be getting a lot of letters.
So they made out. They decided they were going to date. There was a whole thing. So the fact that 2 episodes later, she's like, oh my God, Zach might be into me. It's like, well, you not only would that not be a mystery, but you would just ask him. You'd go, hey, like a couple weeks ago, we actually kissed and everything. So are you still into me? Is that what's going on? Like, you would just say it. Also, yeah. Not only is Lisa aggressive and wouldn't be shy about it, Zach, we're led to believe the coolest guy in the school who does nothing but hit on girls all the time is all of a sudden too embarrassed to hit on Lisa.
Like, the guy who would fuck someone he hates as on a bet.
Yes! Is too shy to tell a girl he's into her.
Hey, Lisa. Yeah.
And has to write it in letter form. Multiple letters.
Multiple letters
saying so.
And all the letters say the same thing.
Yes.
None of the letters make plans. None of the letters are like, okay, so we agree that we love each other. We are like, between the first two letters, they have both agreed that they love each other.
Yes.
The second letter isn't like, okay, great, so we love each other. Let's meet at this time. The second letter is like, I'm so glad you love me. I still totally love you. And this, and then her letter back is like, I love you too. This is so great to be in love. Like, they don't
Let's continue
make any
to be
attempt
in love from afar and never meet and talk about it in person. Although I do love the idea. I wish one of the letters was exactly what you said. Like, hey, great. We both love each other. It's great. Let's keep writing.
Meanwhile, Screech admits, I think this, I'm surprised that this is not a more famous episode in the canon. Because Screech at the Max loudly admits that he's a Methodist.
Okay. Wait, how did that happen? She says,
like, Lisa,
oh, a hypocrite.
Yeah, Lisa's, or no, Tori.
Tori says.
Says Lisa's secret admirer
is a hypocrite.
Because thinking that secret admirer is Zach, because this is such a boring episode. Sorry. No, it's great. It's perfect. Tori tells.
I didn't write it.
Because
you don't need
everyone,
to apologize.
Let's be honest. You're making a cottage industry out of this show. It's fair to assume you take it a little personally.
Not at all. I don't have like a personal stake in this.
April, let's focus.
Okay.
Tori has a conversation with Screech because everyone just has to keep updating each other with zero inflection on what is literally happening.
Right.
So that we can follow it.
Right.
And she thinks Lisa has told Tori that Zach is her secret admirer, even though there's been
no evidence
whatsoever presented to Tori. And Tori immediately takes it by rote and is just like, yep. I guess Zach doesn't like me and he just likes Lisa now.
Yeah.
And then she's telling that to Screech and she says her secret admirer is a hypocrite. And Screech says, no, he's a Methodist.
Yes.
Screech is a Methodist.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really had me fooled for years and years and years and years and years.
What was it about him that had you fooled?
That he's Jewish. That he's clearly Jewish. He's so Jewish. That he's clearly playing a shitty Jewish character on a 90s sitcom about everyone being assholes.
I even feel like in some other episode he says something about being Jewish. But yeah,
I don't even know,
Methodist.
And I don't know why is it funnier for him to say Methodist
instead of just no, he's not, he's Jewish?
Because then it would give it all away.
Is it supposed to be a secret?
Well, it's supposed to be. Tori is supposed to still think that the secret admirer
and so it's like,
is Zach.
And
so if he says it's Jewish.
Yeah, like Zach clearly
isn't.
Like,
well, Zach is definitely not Jewish. He's so beautiful.
Right.
He's such a hunk.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, Screech is outraged by this because, you know, obviously he knows it's him. And then.
Now, in the lead up to the dance.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps telling everyone else what their costumes are going to be, which is exactly the opposite
point
of a masquerade ball.
You're missing, though, as soon as he says the thing about being Methodist, you know, Tori's like, what? And then says, oh, it's Zach. I can't believe Zach wrote her letters while whining and dining me. And that's when Screech goes, well, no, he took you to dinner to win the bet.
Right.
So that's when Tori's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, the bet, and tells her everything. And then that's when she goes, okay, I got to figure out how to trick the hunks.
I'm going to trick these two hunks.
Yes.
They thought they could fuck me. I'm going to make them fuck each other.
Right. And then basically. And you're right, because everybody helps her by telling each other what their costumes are.
Yeah, they're going to a masquerade ball, and
yeah.
all of them are just like, so I'll be there dressed as Gumby, which, first of all, what?
What?
Come
and
on. I mean, it is Screech, so.
When...
Also, here's... Okay, so again, like I was saying at the top of this show, how, like, Zach and Slater are supposed to be polar opposites in many ways, but they're
right.
dressed exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just to really hammer home how confused everyone is, even though they think they have each other's identities so well figured out.
Yeah.
Screech is going as Gumby.
Yes.
At the merest hint that Zach is dressing as Gumby.
Yes.
Everyone's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Of course the hottest guy in school is going to the dance dressed as Gumby.
Thank you. I totally wrote that down. Like, when Lisa learns that, she's like, oh, yeah, Zach's going to be
cool.
Gumby.
Gumby
checks out.
Cool, hot as shit. I'm going to fuck that Gumby.
Yes. Like, everyone would go, wait, what? Zach would never dress as Gumby. That's mad nerdy.
Track.
Yeah.
It doesn't track.
Yeah. So.
Slater comes to school every day.
Mm-hmm.
With two buttons on his shirt buttoned.
Yeah.
Like, just the deepest chest cleavage he can possibly have, unless he's wearing a tank top. That's the only alternative. And then to the dance, he wears
a
full body astronaut costume yeah. with astronaut helmet.
Yes. Covers up.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
These people make no sense.
If anything, he would be like, I'm coming as like a Chippendales dancer. So just so
yes.
he could wear a Speedo and a bow tie and nothing else.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which would be allowed. Mr. Belding would allow it. Mr. Belding has
no
sense of responsibility towards these students'
no,
well-being.
No, he has no authority. So,
or even his fellow teachers.
You're right, though. So everybody, no one goes, that's weird. Zach would never be Gumby because it's dorky as shit. They're like, yes, he's Gumby. Totally. And then that's when Tori tells Slater that. Like, Tori acts like, she sees Slater in the hall, she acts like she's gonna let him kiss her, then she slams his head into the locker, which was a boss move that I totally loved, and then he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I know.
She's a ball buster.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a man-eating ball buster.
So then she's like, look, dude, I know about the bet, but I don't care. I want Zach to lose because he acted like he really liked me, so here's the thing. Totally French me at the dance. I'm going to be dressed as Gumby.
And he's like, yeah, 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 that makes sense.
Again, he's
that
like,
makes sense.
What? He just goes, I'll be dressed as Gumby. And he's like, okay, I'm going to be an astronaut.
Got it.
Now.
I feel like every other line of dialogue in the show is just, got it. Like, someone explains something and the other person just goes, okay, I've received that information.
Yes, confirmed. So.
No questions.
We cut to the masquerade ball and I guess Tori dressed like a cat. She heard that Lisa was going to be a cat, so she's like, I'll dress as a similar kind of cat.
Yeah.
So,
which, incidentally, Lisa's not even dressed like a cat.
She looks
she's got like a peacock mask on.
That's right. And I guess maybe she has cat. It's like a sexy thing or whatever.
Yeah, she says meow a lot in this episode. A lot in this episode.
So
she's ready. She's ready to go.
That's what meow means?
Yeah. Listen, April.
I do not know how to
flirt,
I know
that when you like
out.
A high school guy, your go-to method is to write a secret letter.
Yes. I mean, it makes the
most
sense.
Hoping that he will take you to a restaurant.
It makes the most sense. Hoping he will rent out a restaurant for me.
And I'm not saying that real people do this, but on a sitcom about clowns, when a girl goes meow a lot, that is what it means.
Look, I'm sorry that I didn't... Maybe you were neck deep in puss every day of high school.
Maybe I was.
I was not that successful.
You were not neck deep in puss every day of high school.
I was not neck deep in boners. I don't know. So maybe I had to
They're both gross. Just to clarify, those are both gross. I did not think that neck deep in boners was gross and neck deep in puss is not gross. They're both really intense images.
Maybe you were really successful with the ladies in high school. I was not successful with the dudes. So maybe I would have thought, yeah, I'll write a secret admirer letter because... If he doesn't know it's me, he's going to be on board. Maybe you were cool. I don't know that life. I wasn't super cool in high school.
But like...
So that's
still,
my reference.
Like, but like, you haven't picked up anything along the way? I feel like you're...
Barely. Barely.
You're acting as if... I understand where you're coming from about high school.
Yeah.
You're acting as if...
As if
the
that's
only
changed
frame of reference
as
you have
I've
is
grown,
high school.
Not by much.
Okay, got it. Got it, got it, got
that
it.
That is a true statement.
Got it. Information received.
You're such a good actor. You should be in a sitcom.
Thank you so
with
much.
With line delivery
I,
like that.
I agree.
Okay. So we're at the dance.
Mm-hmm.
The setup is, you know, Slater thinks it's going to be
the
Tori.
Whole school is there, all 12 of them.
Yes, the whole school, all in costume.
All in costume.
And all store-bought costumes.
Mr. Belding is there as a pirate.
As a pirate. Now, they go, you know, everybody has been told who's in on this trick, meet at the punch bowl at 9 for a kiss. Slater thinks he's meeting Tori. Screech thinks he's meeting Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
But he thinks it's Zach, whatever. The point is, 9 o'clock, kiss time.
Well, no. Tori thinks that she's tricking Zach and Slater.
Yes.
Just because this is, we have to make sure this is clear.
Yes.
Tori thinks she's tricking Zach and Slater into kissing each other.
Yes.
Slater thinks that he's going to be kissing Tori.
Yes.
To win the bet. And Screech thinks that he's going to be kissing
Lisa.
Now, Zach isn't even there yet.
He's not even there yet. He does show up.
He shows
as
up
the Phantom of the Opera
in a straight up like masquerade ball costume.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Zach is the only one who comes correct.
Yes.
Everyone's
of course.
In a fucking Gumby costume
and has the money to
costume.
Have that like fancy ass costume.
It's very fancy.
Yeah.
He probably owns it.
Yes. Like he owns a tux or something.
It's a, I mean, it is a tux.
It is.
And he probably owns it.
Yeah. With a cape and everything.
Cape
so
he rents the cape.
He okay, here's my problem with this from Jump Street. As soon as Screech walks up as Gumby and sees Slater in the astronaut costume, he'd go, oh, that's clearly not like Lisa doesn't have muscles. Lisa isn't like a hulking presence.
Your problem should start before then.
Sorry.
It should. Here's when your problem should start.
Okay.
Tori walks up to, I think it's Tori, is the one who walks up to Screech.
Yes.
in the Gumby costume.
Yes.
Thinking that she thinks it's Zach.
Yes.
And tells him to go meet his secret admirer.
Yes.
Because she thinks Zach is in the Gumby costume and that Zach thinks that she's Lisa because he's supposed to think Lisa's in a cat costume.
Yeah.
So she has told, so she thinks that she's talking to Zach and she thinks she's telling Zach that he's going to go get to kiss Lisa.
Yes. Even
or
though,
Tori or something. It doesn't matter. It is very complicated. At the punch bowl.
Yes.
Right? She's explaining it. Go to the punch bowl at 9 for your kiss.
Yeah.
But we know it's Screech in the Gumby costume, right?
Yes.
Gumby wordlessly nods and is like, and agrees that he will go do that. It's Screech in that costume. Screech has not kept his mouth shut.
Ever in
life. Much less understood what's happening. Screech hasn't understood a single thing that's been said to him the entire episode.
Yes, it's
all
true.
Of a sudden, he's just like nodding. Just nodding wordlessly. If that was really Screech in that costume, he'd be like, like he would immediately give himself away. There's no
completely,
way.
Completely.
That's when the problem starts.
Okay. Yes.
Then
agreed.
They go, they're dancing. Screech in the Gumby costume.
Well, no, again, but before they touch, Screech walks over and again, on sight, he'd go, well, that's not Lisa. It's a hulking dude with muscles in this big costume who's
right.
taller
six
than
feet
me.
Tall. Six
yes.
feet three.
So that's already happening. But then yes, they embrace. They embrace
They're
and start
slow
dancing.
Dancing.
And that is when both of them would go, this doesn't feel... Like Slater would go, this is not Tori's body that I'm feeling. I have my hands around this person's waist.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know. Has Slater ever touched a woman's body? You've watched almost all of the episodes. Has he ever touched a woman's body?
Yes, he
body?
Has.
Okay.
He has.
Because between, between his instantaneous gay panic
that's
in the locker
true.
Room
but
and this bet.
Prior to Tori, like, he and Jesse were fucking. I think
right,
they were
that's
fucking.
Right. No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about
so
how he fucks Jesse.
He would go, what? This is not
although,
a girl's body.
Again, does he know what a woman's body
is?
Jesse
then,
on this show is basically Tori.
Right.
Jesse's like
yeah.
a bit of a ball buster on the show.
That is true.
Right?
But then at least Screech
but
would go.
But then she showgirls later, so we know that she's
that
got
she's
it.
Got, she's packing.
She's got it.
She's got a rack.
She's got it.
Then, but Screech would at least go, oh, I feel these huge muscles that Lisa does
well,
not
so
have.
Well, so at least Screech doesn't know what a woman's body feels
yes.
like. So he could be confused.
And then.
But again, he'd still give himself away because he'd be like, Lisa, you're so muscular, like through his Gumby costume.
Right. And then they wordlessly kiss through the costumes.
They wordlessly kiss through the costumes and the audience, the live studio audience
yes.
goes crazy.
Yeah, they woo.
Because they know that it's two guys kissing.
Yeah.
Even though they're not kissing at all.
Yes,
they
they're
have
not touching
full
at all.
Foam face masks that are yes. bumping into each other.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. And how would that even...
Why would they do that?
Why would they do it? And if Slater thinks the bet... If he thinks it's like, oh, I'm winning the bet doing
you're
this...
You're not winning the bet.
You're not winning the bet. That doesn't count as a kiss. No one's touching.
That you make a really good point that I hadn't even thought of. Slater thinks he's winning the bet.
Yeah.
Not only is he not, he's not kissing her.
Yeah.
When they take their masks off and they realize that they're dudes.
Yeah.
Slater says, no one saw us.
Yeah.
I won't tell anyone if you don't.
Yeah.
Which means there was no witness.
No, yeah.
Which means he couldn't have possibly won the bet.
He couldn't have won the bet. It wouldn't have counted.
He never won the bet.
Yes.
So he might have known that it was Screech.
And was
now I'm debunking your theory.
Oh.
You think that he should have known it was Screech. Maybe he did.
He did, and he just
kept
going.
And he just wanted to sneak that kiss.
Yeah.
Screech is like, when they take their masks off, Screech is like, well, I should have known because you smell like man's cologne.
Yes. You smell like Brute.
But as befits everyone on this show, you're not allowed to ask questions. In the universe of Saved by the Bell, you don't. The only question I think you are allowed to ask one question.
Yeah.
Which is, could you explain that to me again?
Yeah.
Like, if someone is explaining what's happening in the plot and you don't understand it, you can ask them to just repeat it.
Say that again.
But you can't ask questions.
For any details.
About any,
or
like.
Anything.
Or you can't be like, well, why is this happening to me? You can't. Or this doesn't seem right. Am I the only one who feels suspicious of these circumstances? Not a question.
I love how eloquent you think that any of the characters would ever be capable of being.
I give them credit. I'm the Tory in this situation.
You see the best in it.
I see the best in everyone.
So they do their fakey kiss. Then they revealed their dudes. They're like, oh my God, don't tell anybody. And then it cuts to Zach talking to Tori. And is like, hey, I saw that. You thought that was me. You set me up. And she was like, yeah, clearly you deserved it. And he's like, you're right. I'm a dick. Now let's really kiss because I've realized the error of my ways and it's no longer under the condition of a bet.
And she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, get the tongue down my throat.
Let's do it.
Right now.
Because in the end of the day, she just wants that hunk.
Just want to hunk stuff up.
And again, from the beginning of the episode, mm-hmm. we are led to believe that Tori thinks that Zach and Slater are pigs.
Yes.
And by the end of the episode, Tori believes that Zach is a gentleman and she is in love with him. Fine. That's an arc. Except the only thing that Zach has done, the entire episode is watch a movie with her in silence, buy her a chicken burger, run out on her on a date, like run out on her without explanation.
Right. While she's got her eyes closed, ready to
kiss. He runs out on her on a date without explanation and takes days to explain it to her. He never talks to her during that interim period.
Yeah.
He doesn't explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? At one point, he does try and talk to her, but she leaves because it has to be confusing. And then at the dance, he admits that he had a shitty bet.
Yeah.
That's all he's done. And she's like, yeah, no, I do love you now, and you are a good person. I think that you are a good person, and I love you.
I wish that was her final line of the episode.
Yeah.
Well,
look, very good show.
How do you feel? Look, I assume we're around the same age. You're probably younger than me, but you grew up watching this. Are you 27?
Right? No, I'm not 27.
You are, aren't you?
No, I am.
Are
not.
You lying to make me feel better? Are you younger than 27?
Yes.
I hate you. So I hate you now. We're not even remotely close in age. Are you a full on decade younger than me? Are you 25?
Yes.
Oh my God, you're 10 fucking years younger than me, you total dick. Well, wait a minute. So did you watch this growing up?
Yeah.
When was it on?
On Laserdisc.
Shut your mouth. Honestly, though, since you were in high school 10 years after I was, did it come on 4 times a day? Did it still have the same schedule?
Syndication.
Oh, okay. So you did watch it every day after school?
Yep.
Were you legitimately into it, or was it ironic?
Sure. I liked it. I did like it.
Okay.
I thought it was cool.
Is this the first time that you've watched it with adult eyes?
Oh my God, yeah. I have no idea when the last time I watched an episode of Saved by the Bell was. It has to have been in high school.
Right.
This is not a thing. There's plenty of things in my life that I've watched ironically.
Right.
After the fact. This is not one of them? I was never like, oh, it'd be so funny to get back into that. I was like, no. I'm an adult now. I don't have time.
You know you're not getting paid to do this, right? Like, I just want...
This show?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, so you just did me a solid then, even though you hated every second of it.
I did not hate every second of it. I didn't think the show was very good.
Sure.
But I enjoyed talking about it with you.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, I drove across all of Los Angeles
for
this.
Yes, you did. Yes.
I'm going to make
you
the best of it.
All the way over here. being 25 the whole time.
And I knew that's being 25 the whole time. There was no point during that drive at which I was not 25 years old, which is my real age.
Wait, are you lying?
Yes.
I'm How old 35. Are you? Oh, you fucking dick. I totally thought you were 25 the whole time. Nope. Look, I'm Tori now. I trusted you.
You're more like Lisa. You're more like Lisa.
I trusted.
He said in the letter he's 25. So he's 25.
Why would I think you'd lie about that? Why would you lie to me?
I really think that if you listen to the tape, you will find that you are the one who kept saying that I was younger. You just kept saying you're younger, and I just kept saying yes. That might not be true. I might have just blatantly lied to you.
You did blatantly lie to me.
I think you just kept saying you're younger than me, aren't you?
Just because I figure everyone matter. Is at this point. Doesn't matter. The point is you're a liar. True. We're just getting to know each other, and you're already lying to me. That's the point. It's
you know
more
that
the point.
This is like not reverse Children of Men. There are people who are older than 35 even. There's like a whole spectrum of people.
Not in my mind. Not in the spinster's mind. All right, so your Twitter is
Gabe Delahaye at
yes
Gabe Delahaye.
And you do stand up? You do improv?
Sure. I don't do improv really.
Not improv? But no. When do you do stand up? Do you have any shows you want? This is going to come out in like a month.
Then no.
Then nothing.
I got a bunch of shows next week that everyone will have missed.
Oh.
Next week will be fun. I'm doing Hot Tub and Sleepaway Camp and
oh cool.
Power Violence. Wow. Those will all be fun. All
right. Star-studded.
Yeah. But that's
well next, that'll be a month. That those were awesome a month ago.
A month ago it was great.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to be going on in a month from now.
Look, after doing all those shows, it's only upward. I mean, you're going to be like...
Oh, these shows are going to change my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Career is just...
It's going to be, I mean...
Uphill.
This is the last time we're ever going to talk. Oh. Because after these shows happen next week, I'm going to really only be
able
to talk
to... You'll be too famous.
I'm going to only be able to talk to people who really understand what I'm going through.
That's true.
Which is being
a
huge success.
Yes.
Based off of these... Small alt comedy,
100%
Los Angeles.
Well,
shows.
I'm not going to talk to you after this because of you lying about your age so aggressively. What? But also, it'll be because you're too famous for me.
That's
so
right.
It's both of those
two
reasons.
Two
very solid
two very legitimate reasons to not talk to someone.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you
for
thank
coming
you for,
over.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This was super fun.
This was very fun.
Okay, and all you guys watching along on Netflix, the next episode that I will be covering is called Day of Detention. Oof. That's the one that's only 22 minutes long. I love that you're squinting, by the way, at my Netflix when you have glasses.
Well, they're in my
pocket.
Just to give everyone a preview of what Day of Detention is about, there is a synopsis on Netflix, and it says, everyone ends up spending a day in detention.
So the title really says it all, everyone. So that's the next episode of Go Bayside, Day of Detention, and I want to thank everyone again for all of the awesome emails that I get. I'm a little behind. If I don't answer, it's not because I hate you. It's just because I'm a little behind, so sorry about it. I will get to you. And also, all the nice iTunes reviews and everything are really helpful, and I appreciate it, and I want to say hello again to all the new listeners I got after that At Midnight appearance.
Oh, hi, new listeners.
Yes, it was crazy, and I appreciate it, and you guys are awesome, and I will see you
hashtag
next time.
#wars. What? Hashtag wars, right?
Yes, that is a thing on the show.
At Midnight.
Yes.
Watch it on Comedy Central.
Yes. And I'll see you guys next time on Go Bayside. Beaker, 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 Go Bayside!